Well, you pet stylist, you found the Broom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hello, Susie. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Do you believe it's this sweet? It's almost June?
Well, it seems like this is the never-ending spring. It just keeps going on and on here in Washington State. Welcome to episode 255 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May 24th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, Cherry Brook, and The Absorber. Speaking of the Absorber towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the Absorber towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar, like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. It was quite a week for me.
What happened?
You know, adventures in not grooming, but mobile grooming.
Oh.
For the past, I'd say, maybe 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, I've thought something was going on. Maybe it's been a little longer than that, actually. I thought something was going on with my trailer wheel. I could hear it, but I couldn't see it wobbling back and forth. So I came home about 3 weeks ago, and we took the wheel off, and we inspected. We looked all around on the trailer for anything we noticed that was bad, and we found one of the hub bolts was loose. So we tightened that up, which will make your wheel wobble a little bit. And I bought a new tire because the tire had worn funny. And I put everything back together, and the noise was still there. It didn't fix the noise. And I thought, that's strange, because now I have a beautiful tire on there. And then I looked back there, I don't know, gosh, I guess a week ago, and I noticed this tire was wearing a little bit funny as well. But still, visually, couldn't see anything wrong. So I was doing an emergency grooming. A dog's toenails had curved underneath his pads, and I figured, what the heck, I would go do this one dog because, you know, I'm nice like that, and I figured I'd argue medical necessity since the dog's vet is not doing nail trims or any kind of grooming procedures at all. No nail trims, no ear cleaning, no butt shaving, no nothing at the vet's over here. So the dogs are just getting really bad nails. So I'm on my way over, debated whether to take the freeway, did, hopped on the freeway, drove a good half an hour on the freeway, had just gotten off the freeway, and I'm driving up the hill, literally between the last two streets that it's happened to me on, right? I'm on the street that bisects these two streets, and I'm driving up the road, and all of a sudden I hear this thunk, and I look in the rearview mirror, and the trailer's staying in place, and I'm driving away from it, and I hear this kind of behind me. I was going about 45 miles an hour. The trailer is firmly planted in the middle of an intersection. I pulled over to the side of the road, and I got out, and the trailer tongue was still attached to the back of the Explorer. Then the trailer was in the middle of the street, tipped over on its backside with no tongue. No tongue.
Shit.
Mind you, it was a pretty light dislocation, right? It didn't shake me up. It didn't hit the back of the car for the first time in three dislocates. It did not hit the car. Instead, I just ended up with the hitch still attached on the car. the trailer in the middle of the road. The bummer was that it was in the middle of an intersection. So I pulled over, and this nice lady pulled a U-turn and blocked the side of the trailer that would be hit by somebody not paying attention, because it has no individual power. I can't put blinkers on or anything. So she blocked that, and then she came over and she helped me lift the tongue off of my trailer hitch, and we stored that in the back of my car. And then the police came, and I was shook up, as you can imagine, and out stepped this, 30-year-old, 28-year-old, drop-dead gorgeous, super nice policeman who walked out, and he's looking around, and it's a big intersection, so I'm already quite a ways away from him, and he's looking to see whose trailer it is, and I wave at him, and he gives me a big, gorgeous smile, and he waves back, and he says, come on over. So I walked over to him, and he said, are you Susie? And I said, why, yes, I am. And he goes, everybody okay? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, whose car is this? Pointing to the one who had blocked me in. I said, it's hers. She's just blocking me to make sure that nobody hits me. I said, everything's okay. We're fine. I said, I just need now to figure out how to get the trailer out of the middle of the road. I said, can I call AAA? Because, you know, that's a free tow for me. And he said, no, I can't leave you in the middle of an intersection. I'm going to have to call police tow for you. Of course, that is basically extortion. So I had to pay a ridiculous amount of money. And the guys were really nice when they got there. They were not the most skilled tow truck driver I have ever met. And to pull a single axle trailer with no tongue onto a flatbed, that's a little bit of a challenge because you got nothing to hook on up there. I mean, nothing at all to hook on. But they managed to get it on, and then we had a big discussion as to where to take it. And I called the guy who usually does my welding while I was sitting on the side of the road, and he was not inclined to help me out this time because he thinks I beat my vehicles up a little bit. And I said, really? I said, I've told you I beat them up. I've never complained about anything you've done. Everything you've ever done for me has been great. Are you sure you can't just tell me whether you think this is fixable or not? I'll send you the pictures. And he said, well, you have to bring it in. And that meant towing it all the way to his place. And I thought, you know, he's not feeling all rosy about me at this point, my third hitch repair. And so I towed it home instead. And then I used Nextdoor to network the neighborhood and find a welder that was talented and willing.
Oh, that was smart.
Talk about great. Now, I, as usual, had ants in my pants. And I wanted to get it fixed because I was under the impression I was going to get to start grooming on June 1st, which I now know is not going to happen for me here in Snohomish County.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a whole nother issue. So I found a guy because I wanted a guy because I wanted to be able to go in and tell him to overbuild it so that it would last me the next 10 years. It really needs to be really extra heavily welded so I don't deal with this for, you know, again, hopefully. And I won't drop it on its tongue anymore. I've dropped it on its tongue 3 times. I'm sure that's what happened, is there was a weakness or a tear, and I couldn't see it because we looked for it. We looked for issues, but we couldn't find any. Needless to say, nobody was hurt. I got to meet a really handsome policeman, and my trailer is getting fixed right now. But gee whiz, that is more excitement than I've ever wanted to have in a week.
You are so lucky it didn't happen to you on the freeway.
Oh, I know. That probably would have totaled it.
Maybe 3 or 4 other people.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, as you drove away. Can you imagine leaving your trailer on the freeway and driving off like, oh, fuck.
Damn. That would be worse, definitely. Still, it was bad watching yourself pull away as it stays back there.
So you had stopped for a light? Like you had stopped for a light?
I was moving. I was moving about 40 miles an hour. And when it dislocated, it tipped back onto its back end so that it was sticking up like that, like the picture I sent you. And and it just stopped, just like that. And it didn't really do any damage because that's where the water tank is. So the water tank just dropped the back end down and it just sat there pointing up in the air. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't hurt. Really, no damage to the Explorer, so I'm practically giddy as I pulled over to the side of the road and saw that nothing had happened to the tow vehicle because I just have had bad luck with that rig. The other issue out here in the Cascade Foothills is that we have not reached the deaths per 100,000 people statistic that they want to have before they will allow the county I'm in to move into phase two, and we can't start grooming until phase two. So it looks like I won't be grooming maybe for another week or two into June, and who knows how much longer after that. So I guess it's not a big deal that the trailer's being welded right now. But I was so excited to go to work. I was just excited. It was almost time. I mean, it's just you can practically spit on June 1st from here. And yet,
so what happened to the dogs with the toenails?
They're still waiting. I'm going to have to get over there.
Drive over there with your nail clippers.
I will, but I have a feeling I might have my trailer back by today. And if that's the case, then I'll sneak them right in, because really all I need to do is the nails.
That really is an emergency.
I thought so.
Yeah. I just had two nail things happen on my own dogs, which I neglected their... I neglected their nails because, as I've said, nail trimming is very... hard on my hands these days, and it's something I just hate, and so I haven't been doing my, and I can't get the helper to help me with that because she hates it even worse. She kind of tries about every couple of weeks to do a dog, you know, and Belle, the Bichon, apparently broke a nail off, and the nail broke off at the quick, and the quick was exposed, and then a new nail started growing in on top of the quick, and I don't think it's coming in right. It looked like it was going to maybe just cover the quick, but no, it's just really not right. She might end up with a veterinary thing, and probably because I let those back nails get too long, and one broke off in her little travels around the yard. So, and Marco had a nail that curled in to the skin, and he also doesn't like his nails done, but I was able to get that. And, you know, by the way, I really want to tell groomers, everybody should have a nail clipper, like a surgical veterinary trimmer, that you can use very sharp points, and you can work it around, you can get it around those nails and get those curled in nails clipped. It's so important to have that tool available so you can deal with that. It's shameful that on my own dogs, I've had two overgrown nail issues. Just a reminder to me that I need to do the nails more on my grooming dogs.
I'll definitely get over and get those nails on those two little guys.
Because I don't know, Belle won't even let me look at that foot. But she stopped worrying it. She's not worrying it so much. I mean, she's hardly noticing it. I rarely see her licking and nursing it. So I think it's not hurting her or even itching or anything.
I did a nail trim on a dog just randomly. I was at somebody's house and they had the clippers. And I went to trim the outside front nail, and they had ripped the nail off, and it was just an exposed quick. And I looked at it and I thought, that looks like it's the quick. And then I just nipped the very end of it, and it bled like a stinker. It just bled everywhere. I didn't even hardly touch it.
Well,
but it was the quick. It was absolutely the quick.
See, what I would have done, I would have looked at it with my 3X lighted. Need to do a little video on that and stick it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Tools you might not have thought about. Everywhere I go, I have a magnifying option. Everywhere I go.
I do too. It's called my phone.
Right.
Not that a magnifying glass isn't good when I don't have my glasses, but I generally, I'll take a picture and I'll sneak in there. But I didn't think to do it on this dog's toe. Lesson learned. So what was your week like?
Well, pales in comparison to your work. I didn't have any accidents, no car crashes, no accidents. It was pretty uneventful. One thing that I want to do is give a shout out to the groomers who helped me last year get the cooler, the portable cooler that we got for the shop that didn't work well in the shop. Well, this year it's working well in my studio because that cooler on the roof has something going on with the motor. We just shut it down. I mean, I've got the hose hooked up to this cooler, and I just dribble in the water, and it can go 24/7, and it's on low, Susie, and it's keeping my whole studio cool.
Excellent.
Really comfortable. So it didn't do the original challenge, but this was something that came up this year that I'm just so grateful for, because in that room is all my aromatherapy supplies and all my drumming collection. So that room can't get hot. So I can't allow it, you know, and I would have had to pay probably $200 to get the motor replaced and installed and rewired and all this kind of stuff. So both myself and my handyman are glad that it's a non-issue. I can just use the portable. It's great.
Excellent.
I love it. And I want to thank everybody again.
And at the shop, you've got the big one up top working, right?
And on the shop, I've got the big one up top working. So it's really been very pleasant. I mean, for being end of May and over 100 degrees outside and everything, we're not suffering. Now, once the monsoons come, the suffering begins, because the evaporative coolers just don't evaporate well in high humidity situations. You know, they're really low humidity solutions. But another funny thing that happened in my house, this is funny. Well, okay, strange.
Okay.
In my bedroom, I have a portable air conditioner, AC unit that is on wheels, and it has this great big hose, like a dry ease hose, you know, and these like 4-inch in diameter huge hoses that we have made a little hole in the plexiglass thing for go outside. And I've had that AC for like 5 years, and for the last 3 years it hasn't worked. Now, last year it miraculously, I said, let me just turn this thing on, even if it's just fan, I need it. I turned it on and it was cold air coming out of there. I had about 2 days of cold air, and then it started just blowing room temperature air. Well, this year I did the same thing. I said, let's see what happens if I just turn this old thing on. It's working like a charm.
I wonder if you have a clogged filter and it dries out in between.
Well, you know what? Steve, the new handyman, Jelly Bean's dad.
Yes.
I love learning that my customers can be resources. You know, it just deepens the relationship, and it just is like it comes around, goes around. It just seems so fair. He's a great handyman. He's not going to be available much longer because he has a whole enterprise. This is interesting. He goes to the major forest fires, and he sells t-shirts to the firefighters that have the name and dates of the fire on it.
They do that here too.
Yeah, so he buys these t-shirts and he's got it figured out how to print on each one the name of the blaze, and he goes with Jelly Bean to the sites and sells the t-shirts, and he gets several $1,000 over the fire season, enough to ride until the next year. Isn't that something?
That is. That's very creative.
Yeah, that's very creative. The other semi-permanent annual gig that he has is that he builds sets and stuff for the Gem and Mineral Show every year.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good gig too. So anyway, isn't that interesting that thing, it's like my bad karma. I've had bad cooler karma.
And yes, you have.
And it's broken through. And, you know, my house is so much more pleasant. I can sleep in my bed. I don't have to sleep in 84-degree bedroom.
Very nice.
You know, life is great.
Good. What about grooming?
Yeah, you know me. I've been been plugging away in a survival mode. Some of my customers are starting to call in emergent condition. You know, I gotta get the dog groomed. I hope you're open, please. You know, this kind of stuff. I'm doing that. I'm not taking new clients. I've had cat people call me, and I'm definitely not doing cats because I can't maintain social distance. I always use the owner on the other side of the table to keep the cat calm and to help hold the limbs in place while I do the tummy and stuff like that. And also to know when it's time to call it quits, because they almost always will agree.
Yeah, you can't keep that distance with that.
And I can't keep that distance across the table with them. So, and Yvonne won't touch cats. She says she's still allergic. That's a great excuse. No cats. So, yeah, not doing that. But it was just a kind of an ordinary week. But I did a lot of dogs yesterday. I did Willis yesterday, and he's just like so bad that I have finally put my foot down, and I'm just going to insist that they get him drugged. He needs drugs.
Good idea. I think so.
We tried to demonstrate to them how awful he is. They don't really get it. He's just untouchable. And anytime you try to do a restraint on him, any kind of a restraint, even a regular grooming loop restraint, he gets hysterical. So he just needs something to calm him down so we can get him through a few satisfactory grooming experiences and maybe can change his set attitude a little bit.
Change the story for him.
Yeah, change the story for him. So that was my week.
What about all these online trade shows and seminars and stuff? That's all pretty cool.
Yeah, I wished I could have attended the big one for Barkley, but I didn't because I was, hello, grooming.
Yeah, lucky you. I could have, but I was figuring out who was going to fix my trailer. Man, I'll tell you what I found out. This is interesting.
Yeah.
That's the smallest grooming trailer out there. I don't think many people have one that's that small. And if I were to have to replace it, I would have to build it myself to get another one that small because all of them are much, much bigger than the one that I have.
Yeah.
Really, I just need the one that I have to last. That's what I need. I don't want to replace it. It works fine for me. Man, I was panicked. It wasn't for lack of funds. I could buy one, but I couldn't find one. I could not find a trailer. There's lots of vans, but the trailers just aren't out there. And I don't want to build one. Although Brandy, my friend Brandy, who's always building
right.
her stuff out, she was like, let's just build a new one. No, I don't want to. I want my old one. But luckily, I'm going to get it back soon. So you guys, I just want to mention that we have an affiliate link up at our website, thegroompod.com. It is the Cherrybrook affiliate. They have all kinds of great grooming stuff. They've got gifts for humans. They've got all kinds of pet accessories. And if you guys just go to our website and use that link to do your shopping, especially you guys on the East Coast, where it's much closer to you, because I think they're in New Jersey, then we will get a little bit of support without you guys having to spend additional money for us. So you guys, let's take our usual break here and hear from Best Shot. And then we're going to come back with our first appointment, which is Keeping Cool in the Heat. That is not a clever name. But that's what I have.
Yeah, that's...
I tried to find a clever name, but apparently never got there. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. BestShot.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how BestShot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, BestShot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, BestShot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some BestShot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So I know that you live in the land of the sun. We don't live in the land of the sun up here, but I live in the trailer with no air conditioning, so I might as well be in the land of the sun. We had a question from one of our Facebook followers who wanted to know how we personally deal with the heat. It's funny that we were just talking about the coolers and all that. She wants to know because she's in a shop where she does not have control over the temperature in there. So all she can do is control her own personal environment and her own personal clothing choices and things like that. So how do you deal with it? You're in heat like a lot of the year.
We're in heat a lot of the year. It's warm in here. Well, people have different tolerances for heat. And that's something that employers need to understand. Salon owners need to understand. I need to understand that I have a higher tolerance for heat than does Yvonne, who's had her thyroid removed and doesn't have either hot or cold tolerance anymore. So that's one thing. But I say wear cotton, and you could even consider wearing athletic wear that is a wick away type fabric.
I have one of those, you know, shirts.
Yeah, a wick away shirt. I also use absorber towel type neck scarves that cool around the base of your neck, so that's where one of your main artery things goes. And so that cools your blood temperature, and you can cool your body temperature quite a bit by cooling around your neck. So that you need to watch how construction workers are handling it. Construction workers are on the hotline of the heat wave, right?
Absolutely.
So you see them often wearing bandanas. I have to wear a headband or something to keep sweat from getting down in my eyes because that's uncomfortable as
heck.
Oh,
it stings so badly.
So I have a stash of headbands, and I even have some scarves that could be used as a headband that have the crystals in them that you wet and they swell and they hold the cool water for a long time, so it's better than just a regular rag that you put around your head. The cooling bags, and I use those for the dogs too.
Oh, interesting.
And another thing that I have for me and the dogs is a battery-operated thermometer that works, you know, like you point it at your forehead and it gives you the temperature.
Yes.
I got one that has settings for human, for surface temperature, and for animals. That my concern, of course, is with the animals, and especially since we do a lot of senior animals at my shop. If I see a dog that seems to be showing signs of heat fatigue, like cherry red tongue, wide-eyed, excess panting, then I can take their temperature and I can double-check. It's not a totally accurate thing, but it definitely shows a difference between normal and abnormal. You can tell.
I use one of those every morning before I go anywhere. I always take my temperature if I'm going to the store. I take it in the evening. I just use one of those no-touch body thermometers. And even though it reads a little bit low, depending on how far away from my head I hold it, I can tell if something's different because it's always the same.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like my normal on my handheld thermometer is, well, actually 97.4 to 97.6. That's my normal on that device. I mean, I didn't always do this, but since the coronavirus, I've been checking my temperature every day. I check my blood pressure as well, which is a good thing for senior groomers to do. So you need to monitor yourself with some kind of data. And then if you're overheating, you need to document that and submit it to your employer. Little personal coolers. We have these little boxes that are like 12 inches by 12 inches box, and it's, you put water in there and you can put it near your grooming table and it will keep your grooming area where you're standing or seated. It will bring the temperature right in that spot down for a bit.
So I've got a unique situation. My trailer is 8x10. Half of that is bathtub, so I don't have a lot of moving around air. You know, it's pretty stagnant inside the trailer. I've got two windows, one on either side, and I've got a ceiling vent, but no fan in my ceiling vent, so it's just open. Then in the summertime, especially when it's really hot, I groom with my door open, which my dogs are trussed up till Sunday on the grooming table, so they're not going anywhere because I've always got them attached in three spots or four spots. It's pretty safe. I've never had a dog go out the door, but in case of discomfort with that, you can always put a baby gate up in your door. What I do to combat my little teeny tiny oven, basically, which is what it is, I have a low tolerance for heat, but I've learned to deal with it. I don't like it. I sweat down on my face a lot. Not anywhere else so much, but my face sweats a lot. So I also have to wear a headband underneath my hearing protection, which is a little bulky, but I do it because otherwise those drops just go right in my eyes and I can't see what I'm scissoring, and it's just difficult.
It's terrible. It really is difficult to have sweat in your eyes.
And unlike Barbara, wetting myself down and wetting my hair down is a regular part of my heat control. So therefore, I wear nylon clothes that dry quickly. I have a nylon tank top and a nylon pair of shorts or skort. And then I wet my head down in my bathtub with cold water. And I just let that drip down the back of my grooming clothes so that it keeps me cool in the same way wearing a towel around Barbara's neck does. But it can be pretty doggone hot in the grooming trailer. It's as hot as it is outside. There's shade, though, so you're not in direct sunlight most of the time. Yeah. But it's pretty hot. So I also try to remain professional looking when I'm doing the wet t-shirt contest in the grooming area. But, you know, I'm covered up in all the right spots. I have a little dog emblem on my tank top, so I look like I'm a groomer. I look professional, but I'm not wearing a whole lot more than a bathing suit, really. But it works for me. And then for my feet, I wear like hiking sandals with my orthotics in them, so that I have a little air circulating on my feet, but yet you can't drop the scissors and poke through them and end up with a spearing incident, which I don't like. I have a fan in the trailer that moves the air around, but I have a difficult time enough getting ears straight without having a fan blowing on them as well. And there's just no room to not be blowing the hair around when I'm cutting it. But I deal with it. You know, everybody tolerates my little uneven ears. I don't wear an apron because it's hot, because that apron is just too hot for me. So I'll go without the apron and I'll wet myself with the hose. I wet my hair with a mister. I wet everything. And I'll tell you, the best thing about it being super duper hot is that the dogs dry much quicker for me here in the wet Northwest. So I do look forward to that.
As an aside, you mentioned uneven ears. Remember the incident I had with the man was sick and he used my bathroom and he left shit balls on the floor?
Oh, yes. How does this relate to uneven ears? This is crazy.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Good question.
Yay.
But, and here it is. So he was back. with his dog.
That must have been hard.
No, it wasn't. You know what? He's the sweetest, nicest man. I remembered him. He wore his mask and he came up to the counter and he leaned over and he wanted to be, like, with me. You know,
yes.
He didn't say a word about that. But he reminded me, just in talking about the dog and what he wanted done, he reminded me that he's just like a sweet, great guy. And so I began to forgive him. And then as I groomed his dog, as I finished, I was trimming the dog's ears, and I noticed that one ear was like an inch shorter than the other ear. That's how I had sent it home.
Oops.
I said, well, whoops.
Are you sure I didn't sneak in there and groom that dog for you?
Yeah, no. I said, okay, this settles it. He didn't mention the 1-inch difference in the ears. I'm not going to mention the shit balls. We're even. We're good. It's over. It's balanced. It's history.
The universe is level again.
Yeah, the universe is level again. So that's how ear length relates to shit balls.
That's pretty funny.
On the floor, shit balls themselves in the appropriate place are not that big a deal. But in clothing or on the floor, they are awful. Listen back about,
6 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks ago, and you'll hear the story. So anyway, it's gone.
Good.
Bless them, they didn't say a thing. How could they not notice? And why didn't they just say, oh yeah, and you could maybe perhaps even up the ears? How did I not see this? I'm usually, you know, I really am very good at that. I just have a good sense of balance, and I just go for it and almost always can do a good job with that. But boy, I blew it that time. What's next?
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Well, for Carrie, who is the one that asked the question, I'm just going to read through these tips that we got online from the rest of our Groom Pod puppies.
Hey, question. Do you think Groom Pod puppies is a little demeaning?
I didn't. I love puppies.
Okay. They're young and cute and blameless and, you know.
And wonderful.
Okay.
And all about love.
Just questioning the linguistics here, you know, our linguistic image. Just raising the question, because that popped into my mind before last week when you used that term. Okay, so what do the groom podsters have to say?
The only reason I don't like groom podsters, it's what every other podcast calls their people. That's the only reason I was trying to find something else.
Okay.
Like on Below Deck, I listened to a Below Deck podcast, and they call them the baby barnacles. The baby barnacles are the people who follow the podcast. So that's kind of where I came up with the puppies. But if you guys don't like the puppies, let me know. Just pipe in on the podcast discussion group, facebook.com, and I will stop using the term. But needless to say, I'm going to use it right now. The Groom Pod puppies say, Leah says, I have a fan blowing pretty much right on my face all summer while I'm grooming. It helps a lot. Colleen says, Angel's Grooming makes mesh-backed grooming tops, and I love them. I also have a tower fan that I have directed towards me. See, these guys must be able to scissor better than I can because it just messes with my grooming.
I hate that. I hate that about summer when I... Because we have a lot of fans going in this place. It has no air circulation.
Right. Laura Judy says, don't forget about the dogs. I'm sure you are making sure they are staying cool as well. And of course, it's always good to remember that.
Yeah, we have water in the cages.
Yeah, water for us too. We should stay hydrated. That's another way from the inside out to combat the heat and the sweating that happens.
And it's hard to keep drinking water when you've got a face mask on. I just have to say that. My hydration practices have diminished since I've been wearing face masks.
Yes, I agree with that. So Jennifer Woodruff says, I'm in Houston and I love my mesh back sleeveless smocks. I actually wear them all year long. As above, Angel's Grooming Apparel. Also, Ladybird carries nice ones. And it's true, I have the Ladybird one. That was pretty cool. Carol says, I just ordered that fan you wear around your neck. I hope it works.
Good.
Yeah. Connie Westerman says, a dehumidifier is a must. And I can just say that I wish I had a dehumidifier, but I don't have power to run one. And Christine says, exhaust fan, shorts, commando, tank, braless, sleeveless, lightweight, crinkle nylon smock. Oh, an AC too big for the building. I have a 250 square foot shop and an 18,000 BTU air conditioner. That is beefy. And on that note, we are going to take a break and head over to our back to school segment where we're going to talk about aerosols. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
So what's the deal with aerosols?
You know, before I get into that, I just saw something. I want to ask you and our listeners, the puppies, a question. In using the Groomers Helper grooming loops,
yes,
I have to have those loops because they've got the sewn-in ring on the neck part so that you can attach it to a grooming pole and keep the head firmly in place. But what I find out is that the clasp on those things tears the material, and I get less than a year's worth of use out of it, and I'm a low-use facility.
I don't have that problem. I have clipped them. I do that occasionally. Come at them with the clippers and I'll nick it and it'll fray. But for the most part, I have a difficult time closing the clasps because they hurt my hands. But it's still the only loop I'll ever use. It doesn't so much rip up the noose for me. I get years out of them.
I got three of them here. They're not even that old. They've all been doing it. And it's so annoying because they're so essential and yet somewhat costly.
So what I do with that frayed edge is melt it with a lighter because it's nylon. And as I melt it and I squish it flat so that it still goes through. But don't squish it flat with your fingers. Squish it flat with like a parchment paper or some paper over the top of it so that it gets flat. And then it stops fraying and it'll still go through the loop if you do it right.
I'll try that. Now,
carry on.
Back to the issue of aerosols. Why I bring that up is that my interest in aerosolization has grown because there's consideration now that our coronavirus is possibly aerosolized in the air, and this might be part of the reason why so many first line health workers are, even though they have good protective gear, are getting the virus and getting sick and in some cases dying. Aerosolization. That aerosol is just a function of the size of the products. So what happens is that when size of the particles that are in the air, right? So aerosolized, let's see, here's I have a couple of sprays that I use that are aerosols. Chris Christensen Super Hold that I use on my spiky type of kind of hairdos and that kind of when I do a mohawk. It's under pressure. There's also an issue of the chemicals that are used to propel the spray. They're petroleum-based kind of nasty gases, but they don't seem to be hazardous to human health. But the overall presence of aerosol spray products is of questionable health risk. There may be some health risk involved in using maybe not as little as we use it. You know, who really uses a lot of aerosol products are hairdressers. But there's been studies that in Australia, there was a study in people who used a lot of aerosol home cleaning and fragrancing items were found to have significantly more depression and kind of mental health issues. So we don't need no mental health issues.
No,
We got enough mental health issues in our grooming community. Let's face it. It's a way that you can function and make a living with some rather less than stellar mental health.
Right.
It's the truth. That's the truth. People who cannot function in a corporate situation, in a packed office, they can make it okay in the back, at the tub, at the grooming shop.
Or by yourself. That's another benefit there.
Or by yourself, or you have a little more control of your environment. You know, there's a whole lot of reasons that we choose grooming that's not simply that we love the dogs.
So tell me this. The Florisol bottles, those the Mister bottles, they're not using a propellant of any sort. Are they a little safer? Are we still at risk with those?
Well, I cannot find, I'm keeping my eye open for studies on that. I cannot find studies of exactly how small the particles are of different, perhaps, hair products in those Florisols. I prefer those, and there are times where you want a really fine mist. For example, when you're using a spray as a scissoring spray or a finishing spray, I use Best Shot Ultra-Vitalizing Spray in a Florisol, and that makes a fine spray, and I just spray over the dog before I start grooming, just lightly spray, and that helps to break up the water molecules, and they blow off the dog faster, so it speeds up your drying significantly. And in the coat, it's good to make a light spray because it doesn't add drying time significantly, and it will deposit some, you know, like it does not take very much of a silicone to really ease your brush out and help your blowout. It doesn't take much, but I'm not going to use an aerosol, and it's one of the things that I have against the Artero Max aerosolized detangler. God, spit it out, Barbara.
I'll edit that all nice and tight. So I got a question. When might you want bigger droplets? Because I use that Florisol bottles for everything at this point, with the exception of my cleaners. I'm using it for all of my grooming products. My hairspray's in a pump bottle.
This is a Best Shot pump, which is, I can see the particles are not much bigger than you would get in an aerosol, but this is a fairly new generation. This is, I'm looking at Best Shot Sentiment Spot, and I'm spraying it around. Boy, that smells good. They really have some nice fragrances.
Don't they?
A further advantage of the Florisol is that you use your hand a little differently, so it tends to not wear and tear your hand so much using that thing, too. That's probably another thing you like about the Florisol bottles.
It's one thing I don't like about the Best Shot bottles. They don't work very well for my hand.
Those big squeeze sprayers, I don't like at all anymore for my hand. But these littler ones that are on the sentiment, those are okay for my hand. Every hand has its different stress points.
Yes. So another issue with those Artero bottles is you busted the top off of one of them.
Oh, I'm still looking at it. It's over by my desk. I was trying to read the ingredient list on my magnifier to see what the propellants were. Sometimes they don't list the propellants, and that's unfortunate. Whenever you have an aerosol, you're going to have propellants. And here's another thing about aerosols, is that a regular meat and potatoes filling place, you know, that fills bottles and that's how you get them to market, that doesn't have an aerosolization feature. In order to aerosolize, in order to make aerosols, you've got to have gases on hand. You have to have a way to force the gases into the cans.
Special machinery
to make aerosols. You've got to have special protocols for handling the gases. And it's all a big added expense. So usually, even a company that's filling their own regular shampoos will outsource their aerosol thing, and that's production. Another expense. And so you have actually way less product that you're paying way more for in an aerosol. They're not cost effective in products. They usually cost more for a smaller amount of actual product, but you don't use as much because it's a finer spray. So there you go. But you knock the top off and you're screwed.
Here's a suggestion, though. If you guys ever do knock the top off, if you take a screwdriver, you can spray the contents into a different bottle and maybe into your Florasol bottle. And then you'll get the actual visual shock of seeing how little product is in that aerosol bottle. But that way you can use it through a different sprayer.
Do I pull up the whole ring around the top of the can?
Nope. You know that little white thing? Do you still have the little white thing or did it break off?
No, I'm looking at it, a little white thing.
So you take a small screwdriver or something and hold it over a cup or whatever, and then just push in on that, and it'll all spray straight down out of that. And then you can reuse it in a sprayer.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to do that because I do want to use this Artero product more and be able to give us all more kind of information as to how it works. Most of the time, these silicone-based detanglers, there's not a whole lot of difference. There's not a whole lot of difference among them. The major difference has to do with how much water is in the product.
Concentration.
Yeah, the concentration.
And the smell.
And the smell, right. Concentration and fragrance.
Or you can call it the groomer lure, because it lures me in.
That's the whole thing. Fragrance is one of the greatest marketing tools there is. But boy, if you don't get your fragrance right for the most number of people, it doesn't matter if I like it. 100,000 other people have to like it too, you know?
Yeah, I get that. Well, Best Shots are batting about 1,000 with their new sentiment fragrance. I mean, not even just the new ones, all the ones. They all smell good. They're very well crafted.
Crafted fragrances, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some fragrances that are more complex. I think that's the term. They're more complex, so they have a more carefully structured bottom note, middle notes, top notes. Thank God, gone are the days where you just have orange and lime or piña colada. And
hey, those are some of my favorites. Wah, wah. God. I'm so predictable.
Single note Susie.
Yeah, that's single me. Note single note Susie. Susie. I eat that way. I like my smells that way. I like my clothes that way.
Well, now your clothes are kind of different. I mean, except it's always tie-dye.
There's still one note.
Yeah, it's always tie-dye.
I like colors. So one last thing about aerosols is fragrances show up in aerosols sometimes.
Fragrances show up in aerosols, yeah, a lot of the time. Well, you know, and it used to be that aerosols were really hazardous to the environment. They've dropped some of the older propellants that caused holes in the ozone layer and that kind of stuff, and we have less hazardous propellants, but there's still petroleum-derived gases that we really need to question whether we want that or not. You know, I'm slowly replacing my aerosols with pump sprays and Florasols.
I have one hairspray, but that's it. Everything else is pump spray or Florasol. None of them are aerosols. I just don't use them.
I have tried using a hairspray that came in a pump through an aerosol, but I think it gummed it up. It just wasn't successful. Or maybe I just didn't like the product itself. Hard to say.
Hard to say.
These little shop experiments, you know, like, we never do them rigorously enough to be able to draw the conclusions that we draw, you know?
Very true. We connect the dots that aren't there.
But that's the human condition, to connect the dots that aren't there.
Right.
You know, as long as you don't develop a conspiracy theory, I'll talk with you.
So, yeah, we do talk, don't we? We can go on. And once again, we're not going to get to our third topic because we just had a lot of catching up to do this week. But that's okay, because we don't need it. You know, we've got a lot of content out there. If you're looking for some more education and less gab, there's other podcasts that we've put out that might be more heavy in the education. This one's more heavy in the gab, and I'm totally fine with it.
Oh, I'm totally fine with it, too. I mean, you know, like, it's important during this time of stress to lighten up.
Indeed.
And there's a certain possibility that if we got more rigidly educational, that people would not be able to absorb it through their anxiety. So we'll keep it light for a while.
I agree.
You know, we'll get back to the technical stuff, especially when I get back to having my computer notes right with me when I broadcast.
And I get back to having my scissors in my hands.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that I'm feeling legal anyway.
Yeah.
My efforts, and I'm just very grateful for the portable swamp cooler working and all the little good things in my life. Hope to be with you in another week.
There you go. That's important. Yes, and let us know if you don't like the puppy moniker, because I'll change it. I just thought it was cute, because I like puppies. So there you go. All right, well, let's do this again next week, Barbara. We'll have more topics and more fun, and certainly more laughs. So, guys, we're happy you're here with us. Remember to support our podcast sponsors, and use that click-through link to do some shopping on Cherry Brook and Cascade Grooming Supply, too. All right, buy a bathing beauty from Barbara.
Please!
Thanks a lot. Happy grooming. Yes. We'll see you next week here on the Groom Pod. Wash your hands. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.